Let me tell you about Public Square. There are several lines that meet other edges.
Youth of this country who are already in a disillusioned, disenchanted state will be encouraged.
Where we talk about the fine margins. Sometimes it's black, white, and blurry.
It's also informed by the need to save costs and reduce legislative time.
Then there are the actors right at the center, coming through political processes, which could be dramatic.
To be a state of dismapishment if Parliament does not rise this morning.
And controversial.
If driving to the roads is engaging the macabre dance, compatibility is that of government.
And there's you to help connect the dots from the top to the bottom. Join Rotimi Sankore and Aroho Obo at the Public Square every Friday from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. 99.3 Nigeria Info.
99.3 Nigeria Info. Welcome to Public Square with Rotimi Sankore. My name is Ezugu Chukwudi. Apologies. Apologies for the delay, but we are back and we are going to delve straight into the conversation. I am not going to waste any much of our time. I will just do the quick introduction and just allow Rotimi Sankore to give us detailed analysis and all the information that we look forward to every Friday on Public Square. So please, I would like everyone to, you know, pay attention so that we can get this information, and when it is time to engage, we'll be able to participate in, you know, the conversation. Now, on Thursday, Nigerians have been looking forward to the composition of distinguished men and women who would work with the president to ensure that whatever policies, ideas of the government in place would work smoothly and ensure that Nigerians enjoy the dividends of democracy and the policies of government. So on Thursday, Femi Gbajabi Amila, the chief of staff to President Bola Ahmed Tinubu, submitted the much-awaited ministerial list to the Senate President, Senator Godswill Akpabio. And, you know, this list comprised 28 names without state of origin or portfolio. And a lot of Nigerians are saying, well, if we waited this long, and some of these names are very familiar names, some who have served in various capacities in government in the past, and we believe that they have the capacity, the competence, and the character to deliver if given the opportunity. What exactly do we expect from these persons? Now, on the show today, we're going to look at civic education, really very important, so that as Nigerians would understand the various federal ministries, the description, when we talk about these ministries, what we expect from these ministries, and what exactly people who function in the capacity of minister should do exactly as they preside over these various ministries. So Rotimi Sankore would, you know, give us detailed analysis, and I'm very sure that we are going to learn a lot on the show today. Good evening, Rotimi. Thank you so much. Thank you for your patience. Welcome to Public Square.
Good evening, Chukwudi.
Thank you so much. Now, let's just delve straight into the conversation. 28 names submitted. Some Nigerians have said, you know, some of these people are familiar names. Like, for example, the former governor or immediate past governor of Kaduna State, Malam Nasiru El-Rufai, immediate past governor of River State, Ezenwonye Somwike, you know, for immediate past governor of Ebonyi State, Dave Umahi, Abubakar Baduru. You know, there are names that people are familiar with. And some people have said, well, it's a composition of technocrats and politicians. But today we are looking at civic education, and we want to understand what these ministries, you know, exactly what their responsibilities are, so that we have an idea of what people who preside over these ministries exactly are going to do. So let's just have your thoughts first on the list, the composition of this list, before we delve into the ministries and what we should expect.
Honestly, Chukwudi, I have no thoughts on the names. The names are mostly not impressive, and they're even less impressive with no portfolio attached. So honestly, I mean, it's better to say nothing about nothing until you have something to say about something that looks as if it has direction.
Okay.
I mean, the only person on that list which jumps out, and because I can guess which minister portfolio is going to get, is Dr. Mohamed Pate, a distinguished public health professional. And from what I know about him, people who have worked with him internationally and in Nigeria, I would say that in most countries, they would be happy to have him as Minister of Health. But, you know, these things go beyond individuals. You know, it goes, I mean, you talked about character, competence, capacity. Yeah, what, you know, what is the ideological orientation of your government? You know, it doesn't matter how competent you are, how strong your character is, how good your capacity is. If the ideological orientation of your government is not to, you know, deliver poor people from poverty, raise standard of living, and so forth, then, I mean, then you are, you just, I mean, then let me give you an example. I mean, nothing in this world would make me serve in any government anywhere in the world which is not dedicated to the promotion of human development and human rights. Nothing. I mean, if that is not the first focus of that government, human development and human rights, nothing is going to attract me to it. Because, you know, there will be a lot of movement without motion. You will look nice, say incredible things. At the end of the day, you won't be able to deliver a lot. So let's, like you said, you know, let's leave the names until they attach names to them. Then we know how bad it is going to be. To be quite frank, let's look at positions. What are the positions supposed to do? Then people can start getting an idea, you know, whether or not these names even fit in the first place.
All right. All right, so let's just look at the various ministries. I would take them in alphabetical order and we would see what exactly these ministries are essentially about and the expectation of people who would preside over these ministries. So let's begin first with the Federal Ministry of Agriculture and Natural Resources.
Okay, I agree alphabetically, Chukwudi, but before we do that, can we make an exception for planning and policy?
Okay, right.
Because that's your big picture.
Right.
Any government, federal or state, you know, whether the president is an ex-DJ, ex-footballer, ex-Hollywood actor, or whatever, I mean, let's assume that the president is not big on things, but is popular enough to have won the vote, he or she. The first person you get is your planning and policy person.
Okay.
That's your big picture person. That's the person who sees all the deficits. So like I said, human development, human rights, this should be the priorities of any government. Your planning and policy minister should be the person who says, oh, we want to industrialize the country. We can't industrialize without electricity. The global standard is 1,000 megawatts per 1 million people. So we should be at 200,000 megawatts. We're at 4,000 or 5,000 megawatts. We have a deficit of 195,000. How are we going to bridge that gap to industrialize? What energy mix are we going to have? You know, whether it is solar, wind, hydro, gas, even coal, as bad as it is, you can see all the UN Secretary General is now talking of climate boiling now. Well, you know, so that person needs to see the big picture. Oh, electricity, very crucial. We can't industrialize without it. Oh, human resources. We don't have enough engineers, technicians, and so forth. You know, we need to talk to the Ministry of Education, not just at the federal, but at the state levels, to see, you know, to see what we can do rapidly in terms of skill set development for private and public sector. If we have a deficit of, say, 500,000 engineers and technicians, how are we going to solve that problem? The federal government is not in charge of primary and secondary education. It's the state government. So is the Minister of Planning and Policy calling the Minister of Education at the federal level to say, call your colleagues at the state level? Let's look at how we are going to solve this deficit over 4 or 8 years, as the case may be, and so forth. So, you know, that's your planning and policy person. Now, the last planning and policy, you know, person in this country that I could see that did anything was under Jakonde. You could see, you know, in fact, that was Jakonde's first appointment. and you could see how things panned out. It wasn't perfect, but you could see the intention. Oh, look, we need the housing estates, you know, in so places. We need schools near those housing estates in so places. You know, we need the hospitals, primary health centers in so places so that workers don't have to travel too far. Students don't have to travel too far. You know, what's the quality of the schools that we can build? So you knew at that time that UPN had a focus on affordable housing. They had a focus on primary education and secondary education, free and quality, and so forth like that. So you can see, I mean, some people talk about people who built Lagos. I mean, if you want to talk about people who built Lagos, please, let's go back to Jakonde. That master plan, you know, is still there to be able to develop. He even planned rail until the Buhari Diagboku came in and stopped the rail. So, I mean, all this rail we are talking about today, which has not even started working, has a Jakonde plan. You could see, you know, he didn't name anything after himself, but everywhere you go, you hear Jakonde House, Jakonde School, Jakonde this, Lasu, and so forth. So that's the closest we have come to, you know, planning and policy that was people-oriented, whether at state or federal level. Perhaps if Aminu Kanu had come to power, maybe we could have seen something similar in the north. You know, everybody knows, if you are old enough, how Balarabe Musa, the governor of Kaduna State, was impeached by reactionary forces. Yeah. But PRUP was so people-oriented that was the party that Nigerian intellectuals joined, not even UPN. Mm. You know, Chinua Achebe joined PRUP. Olusegun Inka joined PRUP. It was People's Redemption Party, you know, led by Aminu Kanu. So your big picture, your planning and policy, that is what defines your ideology. What do you want to deliver in terms of infrastructure, electricity, jobs, education, youth, you know, development, and so forth? And yeah, from all these names listed, I can't even see that big picture person, whether ideological or not. You know, somebody who is able to see all the gaps and deficits and say, we need to coordinate all the ministries at federal and state level, you know, to fix that problem. So, I mean, that is the biggest governance issue at federal or state level.
Interesting. And it's clear that if we get this right, to a considerable degree, we would be able to, you know, address all the problems that we are faced with, because without proper planning, then what essentially, you know, would you like to achieve when you look at the policies? So thanks so much for that. I am very sure that everyone that has listened to you explain in detail would understand why planning and policy is very important. And it's good that you have cited examples, you know, whether at the federal or state level, as far back as, you know, the administration of the late Alhaji Latif Jakonde, 1979 to 1983. And the reason why I want to emphasize is, if we had had that, you know, if we had had that situation in the past, then it's a possibility. It's not alien to our society. It's a possibility that if we do things right, we're definitely going to get, you know, the answers that we desire. But what we are going to do now is, you know, step out for a quick break. When we return after the break, we'll look at the various ministries. I hope I have the permission to now do alphabetical order now.
Yeah.
All right. So we would look at the Federal Ministry of Agriculture and Natural Resources, Federal Ministry of Aviation, Federal Ministry of Commerce and Industry, Federal Ministry of Communications, Federal Ministry of Defense, Federal Ministry of Education and Youth Development, Federal Ministry of Environment, Federal Ministry of Finance and Economic Development, Federal Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Federal Ministry of Health and Social Services, Federal Ministry of Industries, Federal Ministry of Information and Culture, Federal Ministry of Internal Affairs, Federal Ministry of Justice, Federal Ministry of Labor and Productivity, Federal Ministry of Petroleum Resources, Federal Ministry of Power and Steel, Federal Ministry of Science and Technology, Federal Ministry of Solid Minerals Development, Federal Ministry of Special Duties, Federal Ministry of Transport, Federal Ministry of Water Resources and Rural Development, Federal Ministry of Women Affairs and Social Development, Federal Ministry of Works and Housing, and Federal Ministry of Youth and Sport. I am very certain that, you know, when we take these one after the other, we would understand what the responsibilities of these ministries are and our expectations of those who are going to preside over these ministries. Please stay tuned to 99.3 FM Nigeria Info. This is Public Square with Rotimi Sankore.
Public Square will be right back.
Let me tell you about Public Square. There are several lines that meet other edges.
The youth of this country who are already in a disillusioned, disenchanted state will be encouraged.
Where we talk about the fine margins. Sometimes it's black, white, and blurry.
It's also informed by the need to save costs and reduce legislative time.
Then there are the actors right at the center, coming through political processes, which could be dramatic.
To be a state of dismal if Parliament does not rise this morning.
And controversial.
If driving through the roads is engaging the macabre dance. Compatibility is that of government.
And there's you to help connect the dots from the top to the bottom. Join Rotimi Sankore and Aroho Obo at the Public Square every Friday from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. 99.3 Nigeria Info.
99.3 Nigeria Info. Welcome back to Public Square with Rotimi Sankore. My name is Ezugu Chukwu. The time check is 3 minutes past the hour of 5 p.m. And on Public Square today, we are discussing civic education with respect to people who play a very important role in helping the government of the day advance its plans and policies for the Nigerian people. Now, you would recall that in my introduction, I mentioned that Femi Gbajabiamila yesterday submitted a list of 28 ministerial nominees of President Bola Ahmed Tinubu to the Senate. Now, Rotimi Sankore has, in the first half of the show, discussed importantly, you know, perhaps the most important ministry ever, the Ministry of Planning and Policy. It's really important that we have an idea of what all these ministries, what their job description, or what they are supposed to represent. And most importantly, we would understand the expectations of people who preside over these ministries. Now, we're going to take them, you know, one after the other, and I would like in alphabetical order, and we would begin with the Ministry of Agriculture and Rural Development. Over to you, Rotimi.
Yes, Chukwudi. Now, agribusiness is not a small thing, and agribusiness cannot grow without federal coordination with the state governments. One reason for this is that the geography of the country differs from state to state. So, for instance, agribusiness and fishing will thrive better where there is more water, and farming will thrive more where there is more fertile land. Mm. So this is not the job of one person calling himself Minister of Agriculture. It's a coordination point to develop the nation's agricultural potential. I mean, to show you how much we have wasted this, you know, countries that came and borrowed palm oil seeds from us in the 1960s are now exporting palm oil to us in Nigeria. Or for that matter, look at something like cocoa. I mean, the chocolate business globally is a $1 billion business. But you would never know that cocoa is potentially one of the biggest agribusinesses in Nigeria, except you're under Awolowo in Western Nigeria, when Cocoa House was built, and at that time Cocoa House was the tallest building in Nigeria, built from the proceeds of cocoa, because the cocoa cooperatives were set up in such a way to maximize the farming, but even the processing was not maximized at that time. If you want to get the best chocolate in the world now, you go to Switzerland, you go to Belgium, they don't grow a single tree of cocoa in those places. A single tree. But, I mean, they make billions from it. I mean, why can't we have an agribusiness strategy that says, oh, you know, in these key areas, so types of farming, you know, can plug in globally and rake in billions? In social areas, we need to grow X amount of food to reduce hunger and malnutrition in the country. And then you mechanize, and then you build your silos in the states, and then you build your storage facilities, and then you build your processing facilities. I mean, agribusiness in Nigeria potentially can employ millions of young people, dairy farming, cattle, ranching, and so forth like that. Mm. I mean, instead you have a situation in which hunger and malnutrition in Nigeria is running at close to 50%. So it shows that even at the coordination level, the federal government historically has failed to drive the agribusiness sector. And I mean, the less said really about the current government, the better, because I mean, all the jokes about cassava and things like that are out there for everybody to know. So you can see that in terms of vision and what you can do with the agribusiness, the manifesto, you know, which guides the current government and the previous one, because it's the same party, is not really much to, you know, it's not really much to talk about. I mean, the former president, I mean, Buhari said a lot about agriculture. I mean, the young people should go and farm. To go and farm with what? With hoes? With cutlasses? You know, in an era, in an area where mechanized farming, you know, is the big thing globally now. Mm. So, agri sector is not just to feed the country. It is potentially one of the biggest export areas. I mean, you just name it, whether it is rubber, whether it is, you know, cashew, you know, whether it is cocoa, whether it is palm oil, the potential is just incredible. And compared to the potential, what we've seen in Nigeria historically in that agri sector is abysmal failure. Mm.
So let's talk about aviation.
Well, I mean, in summary, aviation has become an elite thing. You know, it has become an elite thing. I mean, at this point, I'm not even sure what that ministry does and whether we deserve a whole complete ministry of aviation or whether it should just be under transport, because there are some, you know, issues that need coordination, you know, and transport is one of those things. If you go to more developed countries and you see the way they coordinate their transport, the airport hub is built in such a way that when you get off the plane, there are buses waiting, there are trains waiting that connect you to different parts of the country. I mean, you can see the dashboard on the wall in terms of when you get down from the airport, where exactly you can go by train, by bus, by sea, by river, by whatever. The dashboard is on the wall. So do we really need a different aviation ministry just to cater for those who are able to fly? I don't think so. I think this should be under the Ministry of Transport.
Interesting. Let's talk about communication.
We know what the problem is there. You know, there is a lot of movement without motion in terms of what communication can do for development. But is it well understood? I mean, if it was well understood, we would have a situation whereby the that sector will be working with the sector that is responsible for manufacturing and industrialization, so that computers, tablets, smartphones, and all these devices and gadgets can be manufactured in Nigeria. Why can't those things be done here? Instead, they are busying themselves with SMS code, you know, even delving into areas where they have no business, like national identity number and things like that. You know, ICT for development now is one of the biggest growth sectors in the world. And unless the power and the talent of the young people is harnessed, we are not going to be able to join that $1 trillion economy. You can see, I mean, Google, Microsoft, Apple, and so forth. Like, I mean, they employ millions of people globally, all those huge tech companies. We have the talent to do it here. The individual talent exists among the young people. But are they being empowered? Are they being facilitated? No.
Interesting. Interesting. Let's move on to a very important ministry, the Ministry of Defense.
Well, I mean, the less said there, the better. Because, I mean, the defense ministry has been mismanaged in Nigeria. You know, when you talk of service chiefs, you are talking of fighting bandits, you are talking of fighting extremists, you are talking of fighting militias, you are talking of fight. You know, really, that's not the job of the Ministry of Defense. The Ministry of Defense is supposed to fight external enemies. What the Ministry of Defense is doing now, you know, is fighting the failure of the youth development sector, the education sector, the labor and employment sector, and so forth like that. Because if the primary and secondary schools are not there, the youth development is not there, the rural development is not there, the ICT, which we talked about, is not there, and then you have 20 million children out of school, you have 60 million Nigerians that can't read or write. Of course, you know, especially when the state governors have failed to provide primary and secondary education, and those kids grow up and start joining militias and bandits and extremists, then, you know, the Nigerian political elite will start calling on the military to come and defend them. Mm. So, I mean, it's a misuse of that sector. It's a serious misuse of that sector.
Interesting. Now, we have the Federal Capital Territory. And, you know, for a lot of Nigerians, especially following the 2023 presidential elections, you know, not too many people used to look at Abuja and think, you know, what is special about Abuja. But other states have governors. The Federal Capital Territory has a minister. Let's talk about, you know, the Federal Capital Territory and the expectations of the person who presides over as its minister.
Well, I'm not entirely sure that the minister of FCT, you know, is capable of playing any more productive role than, you know, the governor of any state. Mm. You know, it's just a bureaucratic position. If you look at when Lagos was the federal capital of Nigeria, you could see what was being, you know, what was happening here. Of course, Lagos has the advantage of airports, seaports, and the historical investment in education by Action Group, by UPN, and so forth like that. But in Abuja now, what can you really say that Abuja is contributing to national growth in terms of what the FCT minister is doing? They are demolishing property left and right, you know, saying the master plan is not being followed. I mean, what exactly are they contributing? How? You know, it's not clear. Are they building industry? Are they making any useful inputs into the growth of any sector of the country or not? I really doubt it. I mean, this is one of these ministerial positions where I'm not sure, you know, that a lot has to be invested in it. Mm-hmm. It's just like the mayor of a city. Mm-hmm. Really, we shouldn't have more than a mayor of a city there that just make sure that have transport, housing, you know, water, electricity, and things run properly. I'm not sure it deserves a full ministerial position.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Let's move on to a very important ministry that over the years have evolved, whether in nomenclature or in practice, the Ministry of Finance.
Well, I mean, the Ministry of Finance in underdeveloped countries like Nigeria has assumed unnecessary importance. You know? I mean, really, if you look at the core ministries that should be in that sector, budget, finance, planning, economic development, and so forth like that. If you were to give it a proper coordinating role, I would say a minister for economic development. Uh-huh. If you want a deputy minister for budget or something, yes. But, I mean, what really is the, you know, the minister of finance in a country like Nigeria, you know, has a big role because they are talking of income, they are talking of expenditure, they are talking of how the money is divvied up, federal allocation, and things like that. But, you know, it's a role that any skilled technocrats, you know, anybody that is a competent economist can play. You know, like I said, I mean, my preference would be for a minister of planning and policy. Then if you need somebody for budget and finance, you know, just to support and say, okay, you know, this is how much we're expecting, this is how much we can share, these are the priority areas, and so forth. It's something that any competent bureaucrat can do, but it has been over elevated. What we need is development, planning and development. The Ministry of Finance is not strategically positioned to play that role in Nigeria.
Interesting. Let's move on to the Ministry of Foreign Affairs. And this is also very important because, I mean, there are so many Nigerians who reside outside the country, and we have seen situations where Nigerians have said, you know, the way some of these countries treat Nigerians is really nothing to write home about. And they expect that the ministry should be up and about and very involved in everything that concerns Nigerians outside the shores of this country. Let's talk about the Ministry of Foreign Affairs.
Well, Ministry of Foreign Affairs has done a few significant things recently, you know, in terms of helping people caught in war zones, but they don't do it efficiently. And there's always controversy about it, you know, about where the money went, whether the money was too much, whether they did it. I mean, like Sudan, for instance, all those buses that were hired, yet the bus drivers were not paid. The Nigerians were stranded in the desert. I mean, there is always something going wrong somewhere. But the big picture is, what is Nigeria's foreign policy? That's the big picture. What is our foreign policy in terms of African development, in terms of developing human rights across Africa? That's where the priority should be. Because without that, then the foreign ministry is just somewhere you post, you know, people because of nepotism. And if you go to the embassies and high commissions abroad, I mean, many of them are dilapidated. You know, our diplomats are not paid for months on end. They owe gas, they owe electricity. You know, I mean, it's just not looking good. If you go to many of the embassies abroad, looking to renew your documents, you are likely to meet a nightmare scenario there. You know, people who are not generally competent. I mean, the social media is full of all these things. So I would say, what is the foreign policy of Nigeria towards African development to start with? And the people that are posted to run our embassies, are they really the best people, or they are being put there to, you know, as reward for playing a role in electing governments? You know, now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that this is not a global practice, that people are not rewarded with positions. But you put people at least who know what they are doing there, not people who don't have any idea what they are supposed to be doing. So are they representing Nigeria abroad the way it should be? Probably not. So it needs strengthening. And the first thing to be strengthened there is, what is our foreign policy?
Oh, exactly. We have to have an idea of what that is, and it would help us move forward. Let's move on from the foreign affairs to the Ministry of Health. It's interesting that you mentioned that of the 28 ministerial nominees, you know, if you would take a guess, it's clear who you believe, given the person's track record and experience, would maybe most likely preside over this ministry. But we have had issues in the past. You know, doctors leaving the country in droves, a serving minister stating that we have enough doctors. It would appear like that ministry has suffered neglect. And if we need to get it right, we must start first by ensuring that the right person presides over that ministry. Let's talk about the Ministry of Health.
Again, Chukwudi, this is a sector that needs coordination at federal, state, and local government level. At the federal level, really, you are talking about teaching hospitals and specialization. At the state and local government levels, if the primary health centers and the maternity clinics and basic health services like vaccination and things have failed. You know, clean water, sanitation, nutrition. If all these things have failed, there isn't much the health minister can do except look good and sound good. I mean, that essentially is it. And it's no surprise that the life expectancy in Nigeria has been in the bottom five globally for the better part of two decades. The life expectancy in Nigeria has hovered between 54, 55, 56, and that is in the bottom five globally. That is how poor it is. So, you know, really, if you are talking of competent people for positions, you also need to talk about investment. For instance, the personnel for the health sector come from the education sector. It's the education sector that trains them, not the Minister of Health. So if the Minister of Education does not understand what the skills gaps are, what the deficits are, then there is a big problem there. If the Minister of Employment and Labor does not understand what the gaps are, what is needed there, then there's going to be problems. And you can see what happened with Minister Ngige, himself a medical doctor. But, I mean, his attitude towards the health sector was probably the worst. Probably the worst. I mean, Chukwudi, as you know, I just recovered from cancer. And, I mean, I've seen the worst of the Nigerian healthcare system and the best of it. The potential is there, incredible potential. I mean, Nigerian doctors, nurses, midwives, specialists, consultants are doing fantastic work globally. Even in Nigeria, some of them in Nigeria are doing fantastic work. But, I mean, look at what is happening with the junior doctors and the resident doctors. How can you owe people 6 months, 9 months, 10 months, 12 months, 24 months, 36 months, and expect them to go to work? I mean, even if you are a sick patient, if your doctor has not been paid for 36 months, you'll be looking at the person and thinking, I mean, this is a serious matter. You know, is this person in the right condition to, you know, and if you look at the facilities, no water, no sanitation, no light. Even in the big tertiary ones, they run out of diesel, they run out of, reagents, all kinds of things needed for testing. They don't have scanning machines, MRI, CT. You have to go to the private sector. So, I mean, honestly, I actually feel sorry for Dr. Patty. I feel sorry for him. He got a job with the Global Vaccine Alliance based in Geneva. And they were looking forward to welcoming him there with open arms. And then he turned out that job, to try and become Nigeria's Minister of Health. But if he doesn't see the big picture and can't get the government to form a cluster in that area, what is called the WASH sector, water, sanitation, hygiene, malnutrition, nutrition, and then the people that service the health sector in terms of human resources, like the Ministry of Education that trains nurses, midwives, and then in terms of retention, like the Ministry of Labor and Employment, then he's just going to give fantastic speeches and look good and look like he knows what he's doing, but he won't be able to achieve much.
Interesting. When we return from the break, we are going to look at, the Ministry of Humanitarian Affairs and Disaster Management. Some people have said that this ministry in itself is a disaster. But, I'll give you the opportunity to shed light on what exactly the expectations are and those who are going to administer or preside over the affairs of this ministry. But we have a very important information, and I am sure that you would like to hear this.
The Public Square.
99.3 Nigeria Info. Welcome back to Public Square with Rotimi Sankore. My name is Ezugu Chukwudi. On the show today, we're looking at civic education and the various federal ministries. Now, Rotimi has done great work detailing what these ministries essentially do. And this way, we can look at people who would preside over these ministries and know what our expectations are of such persons. He has been very, very detailed with breaking these ministries down from agriculture and natural resources, aviation, We have looked at the Federal Capital Territory. We have also looked at finance. He has done justice to foreign affairs, discussed health, and before the break, we were supposed to discuss the Ministry of Humanitarian Affairs and Disaster Management. I'm hoping that I can connect with him again so that we can have that conversation. Hopefully, we can say maybe look at two more ministries, and thereafter, I would get feedback from people who are listening at home. This conversation would continue. Do not forget that I mentioned that the Chief of Staff, Honorable Femi Gbajabiamila, submitted a list comprising 28 ministerial nominees. And the report is that in the new week, the Senate would begin screening. Now, these names were submitted without state of origin and portfolio. So we cannot tell exactly who would preside over which ministries. But we'll just fold our arms and wait. And hopefully we are going to get that when, you know, when the screening commences. Hello. Oh, something about the line. Hopefully Rotimi can connect with us. But while I wait to see how I can get more from him, I would like to reach out to our audience. Please tell me your name, where you're calling from, and your contribution. Hello.
Hello.
Yes. Hello. Comrade Koboku. Yes, Richard. I can hear you loud and clear. Go on.
I greet you and Rotimi Sankore.
I greet you too.
Hi, I wish Rotimi Sankore is our Nigerian president. Any government that does not take care of their human citizen and their social security and everything, that government is a cannibalistic and a bunkum government. Mm. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you so much for your contribution. Comrade Koboku Erujeje. Hello. Still something about the line. Hopefully I can connect with, I don't know. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, good afternoon. What's your name and where are you calling from? Or good evening, good sorry.
Good afternoon.
Yes, what is your name and where are you calling from?
This is Pastor Ladipo.
Pastor Ladipo, you're welcome. 60 seconds.
Please, I want to ask Rotimi once he comes back online.
Okay.
How was Jack Conde under 3 years or 3.5, how was he able to actualize and achieve those milestones in terms of rural housing and education? Thank you.
All right, Pastor Ladipo, I am very certain that he will do justice to that question when we connect with him. Hello.
The Guru.
I can hear you loud and clear.
Yeah, this is Chris. Long time no talk.
You're welcome, sir.
Sarutimi, you are welcome back. The Guru.
Yes.
Let me be honest to you. Like Sarutimi said, you know, a laugh when you mention all those names and mention the ministry. For me as a person, with the composition of people running the affairs of this country for now, I'm not expecting anything from them. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much, Mr. Christopher Onka from Sulere. Now, I think I have Rotimi on the line. Hello.
Yeah, hi, Chukwudi.
Yes, thank you so much. Welcome back. So, I have started taking calls, and Pastor Ladipo asked a very important question. For Pastor Ladipo, Pastor Ladipo is really very, very... He's looking at the administration of Alhaji Latif Jakonde and wondering how Alhaji Latif Jakonde was able to achieve that milestone that we still celebrate today in the area of housing, everything concerning rural and urban development.
Yeah, Chukwudi, like I said, planning was Jakonde's first position. In fact, before every other thing was done, Jakonde knew what he wanted to do in Lagos, to grow Lagos in terms of infrastructure, in terms of transport, in terms of housing, in terms of education, in terms of health, and so forth. And again, it wasn't just left to Jakonde as an individual. It was also a question of the ideological direction of his party. Not perfect, but at least they had ideological direction in terms of the manifesto that they ran on and what they promised to do. And Jakonde happened to be one of the UPN governors that was able to actualize it more. So what they call you know, in human resource terms, he headhunted his planning guy and said, look, put together a blueprint for Lagos. And once we have our commissioners and every other person in place, we present this blueprint to them and say, this is your brief. Transport, this is the rail line we want running across Lagos from A to B, from C to D, from E to F. Housing, this is where we want the housings, the various estates to be. We want education, we want schools near those estates, and so forth. So there was a vision, there was a plan, and even if the resources were not there, I mean, what was called Jakonde schools in those days have trained a lot of brilliant people today. Mm. So it's this question of your own individual character and competence. Don't forget that Alhaji Latif Jakonde was a journalist, not a demographic data or planning expert, and he was a good journalist for his generation. But he knew what him and his party wanted to achieve, and he knew the kind of people that were needed to deliver. So that's why I say big picture. Big picture. Your planning and policy person is your, you know, is the person that sees the entire chessboard and what you want to achieve, within what time, the resources you have available, and so forth like that. So these names that have been rolled out at the federal level, I can't see that person. Never mind the ideological direction of the party. I can't even see that person. And in many states that, you know, that commissioners, the nominees have been appointed. So that's my summary answer to Pastor Larry. But your party has to have an ideological orientation that is, you know, to eradicate poverty, that is pro-people, and all the things that is needed, that are needed to lift the human development and living standard. Then you find the people that are able to deliver, not nepotism.
Interesting. Now, before we went for that break, I mentioned the Ministry of Humanitarian Affairs and Disaster Management. That will be the seventh ministry that we would, you know, be focusing on today. So I'll give you that opportunity to just discuss this particular ministry and what the expectations of this ministry are.
Obviously, Chukwudi, we won't have time to run through all the ministries before the program. And that's why we said there'll be a part two of the program, especially because by then, names would have been attached to the nominees. But on this question of humanitarian and disaster, the whole country is a disaster zone. Never mind that ministry. The whole country is a disaster zone. Look, Nigeria has roughly 3 million people that are internally displaced. Mm. And it has been normalized. I mean, to give you an idea of what this number is that seems insignificant to the Nigerian ruling class. Countries like Jamaica are not even up to 3 million. Mm. Jamaica is 2.8 million people. Qatar, where the World Cup was just played, is 2.7 million people. I mean, that just gives you an idea, I mean, what that population can do in terms of potential. You know, there are something like 30 countries and territories that are 3 million people and under globally. So when a country has 3 million people internally displaced and they are not looking to rehabilitate them where they should be, and you set up a ministry to give handouts of 3,000 or 5,000 naira, as the case may be, obviously it is clear that the government does not understand what caused this internal displacement and disaster, because many of them have been displaced by conflict, by Boko Haram, by bandits, by militias, and so forth. Some by flood, some by natural disaster, but mostly by conflict. And that conflict has arisen mainly as a result of poor investment in education, in rural development, and all the things that we talk about on Public Square. So I'm not entirely sure that ministry deserves a permanent position. What we need to do is to resolve those issues, get people back to, you know, resolve the conflicts in a sustainable way so that people can return to where they came from. And if they can't, then ensure that wherever they are, schools, hospitals, and all the social services that they need to thrive are built there. Instead of maintaining permanent IDP camps of 3 million plus people in a country that is not at war with another country.
Interesting. So I would want us to look at one more ministry before we wrap on the show. It's 9 minutes to 6 p.m. And that ministry would be the Ministry of Industry, Trade and Investment.
Ah, this one is big, Chukwudi. You know, I mean, when we talked about planning and policy ministry in the beginning, I mean, this industry, trade at every state level should be one of the sectors that coordinates the most, because you can't grow your country sustainably without industrialization and trade. Mm. Remember, I think a program ago or two programs ago, we're talking about why China is the workshop of the world. Because skills, they have the engineering skills, they have the technological skills. Why South Korea, you know, is able to export, produce, manufacture everything, cars, heavy diggers, computers, smartphones, tablets, refrigerator. I mean, you just go to any electronic shop and see all the South Korean goods that are there. Skills. I mean, our own Ministry of Trade and Industry. I mean, what exactly are they doing there? I mean, which government at state or federal level can you say that they have worked with the Ministry of Youth, the Ministry of Employment, to do what? To do what? In fact, part of the failure of Nigeria is the failure of industrialization and trade. I mean, the less said about it, the better. Maybe we have time to expand upon it in the next program in the part two.
All right.
On this issue. But it is so vital. It is so vital to the growth of any country. Industry, trade,
all right,
and commerce.
All right. So, you know, in the next episode, we're definitely going to have the opportunity to look at all the other ministries. And it would even be more interesting because I am very certain that after the screening exercise, we would know exactly, you know, the ministry... the ministerial nominees are going to be presiding over, given the nature of the questions that they might be asked by, you know, our senators. We are, I'm very sure, going to talk about the take a bow and go, which over the years, you know, many people have complained about this situation because certain people enjoy privileges, maybe because they used to be in the Senate or they are considered to be...
Yeah, Chukwudi, but this bow and go is the ultimate insult to Nigerians.
Yeah,
the ultimate insult to Nigerians.
Hopefully it doesn't happen, you know, during this present, during the next screening, and we'll not have to discuss that. But if it happens, do not forget that former governor of Ebonyi State, Dave Umahi, you know, just resigned his position as senator because he's going to take up this offer of being a minister. And in the past, people have looked at these privileges and they have said, this is our person, no need to stress him. We trust the person, bow and go. Hopefully, we will not have this conversation. But thank you very much, Rotimi, for the detailed analysis and the explanation. Hopefully, next week, we'll carry on with the conversation. To all those that reached out, you know, to make your contribution, we are sorry that we could not take as many calls as possible. But next week, for after the business news, we are definitely going to look at these ministries, some of the trends that have unfolded, and go straight into the conversation. Thank you so much. Keep listening to 99.3 FM Nigeria Info.